When you hear of a popular brand success like Skims, Rode, Rare Beauty, or Aloe Yoga, you may think that all just comes from having a great product. But most people don't realize that it's the business behind the business that drives that success. There's an overlooked secret that makes selling and shopping simple. And that secret is Shopify. So the secret's out. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. It's the home of the number one checkout on the planet, meaning way less carts abandoned and way more sales going. I've been using it myself for 2 years with my own brand of women's feminine clothing and lingerie, so I know what the hype is all about. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/forthegirls, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/forthegirls.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we're talking about grief. And I felt like this was the perfect time to address this topic because by the time that you're hearing this episode, I will have just turned 30. So it's kind of like the death of my 20s. We're grieving my 20s. My birthday was February 7th. And I didn't like make any sort of birthday episode. I usually do. I know I've done like 27 lessons by 27, 28 lessons by 28, like stuff like that. I didn't do anything like that. I feel like this type of episode seems to be more appropriate for this season. I know that I talked recently about in like, you know, a more recent episode. I don't remember exactly which one, but I know that I just recently mentioned, I think it was the episode, every year is your year if you decide that it is. So it was the first episode of 2025. And I mentioned in that one how I feel like turning 30 this year, there's like a lot of symbolism behind it because it is the start of my next decade. It's the start, you know, of my 30s. And it's also the year where I'm going to get married. It's the decade. I'm not going to say it's the year, but it's the time period where I'm going to become a mom, going to move into my forever home. Like all of those like really seriously settling down things are what's going to happen in this decade, as opposed to what my 20s looked like, where I was all over the place. I started businesses. I failed at businesses. I started this and it ended that. I moved here. I moved there. I lived in four different cities. I had six different apartments. Like my 20s, I can't possibly be more grateful for because I experienced everything. I traveled the world. I made friends. I lost friends. I was single basically the entire time. Met my future husband toward the end of my 20s. Like I just experienced so much. And there was so much movement. There were points in my 20s where I was practically living out of a suitcase. And so there was like no sense of settling down at all in my 20s. And I feel like the symbolism is so strong, you know, like to witness the vast, you know, cut like in between my 20s and turning 30. It's like all of that, the craziness, the constant movement, the go, 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 the being unsatisfied and always being hungry for more, all of that really like stayed in that decade. And what, you know, was really big for me in that decade that just changed now as I'm about to turn, well, technically I didn't hit 30 yet because I'm recording this right before, but by the time that you're hearing it, I did. So if I address it as if I'm not 30 yet, that's why. As I'm about to turn 30, it all just happened that I got engaged and, you know, moved in with my fiance after all my 20s living alone. And I did make a TikTok talking about this, saying I made the TikTok right before we moved in. So I would say that I've realized that the feelings aren't as strong as I thought they would be. But right before we moved in together and I was, you know, in my apartment packing up my stuff, I just had this feeling of like, wow, like this is the end of living alone. This is the end of only ever relying and depending on myself. Like now I don't get to just, you know, have my private, you know, bachelorette pad, whatever you call it. Like I don't get to have that life anymore, or not to say get to, but I don't have that life anymore where I did not have anyone else to consider. My whole life, I got to just be selfish. My whole life got to just be about me, and nobody else. If I wanted to book a flight for tomorrow and just pick up and leave, I could. If I wanted to spend a little extra money here and there, I could. Not to say that I can't now, but I do have somebody to consider now. We are now a we and an our, rather than just me and my. Like this is not just my house, this is our house. It's not just my life, it's our life. We are creating a life together. We have now merged our lives. And, you know, it really hit me right before I moved, like that freedom of your single season. And you, like, you kind of take it for granted at points. Like the fact that there could be nights where like I would just not even have dinner because I had a big lunch. I wasn't even hungry. Like I just didn't even have, like, it's all those little things where it's like, wow, that season of your life is really over because now you have somebody else to incorporate and somebody else to care about. Like you can't just be selfish all the time, like I got to be throughout my 20s and throughout my living alone phase. And I was always excited to move in with my fiance, but I'm so glad that we did end up waiting until we got engaged. I'm glad that I had that like last bit of quote unquote freedom, if you will. I hate when people say that because what was I doing in the freedom? I wasn't having like strippers come over my apartment. I was just able to have like girl dinner, you know, and just like read books for dinner at points. Like that's the quote unquote freedom that I'm referring to. But I was always excited to move in with him, but I'm so glad that we waited because that was it. You know, like that was my last time that I was ever going to be alone for the rest of my life. And of course, the best part of this change is that like, I don't only have to rely and depend on myself. I do get to ask somebody else for help. I do get to have somebody else that I could turn to and depend on. Like that's, you know, all absolutely beautiful. It took me a while, I think, to get used to the fact that like before getting engaged, like it took me a while to get used to the fact that like this person's actually staying. This person's actually not leaving, because when you are single for a long period of time, when you do live alone all that time, when you only ever depend on yourself, you get to that point of being like, it's better that I don't bother with asking anybody else for help. It's better that I just stick to this myself because everyone's going to disappoint me. It's better, you know, I'd rather get it done right. I'd rather do it myself. Excuse me. I'd rather do it myself than rely on somebody else. They're going to mess it up. They're going to take too long. It's not going to get done right. Or maybe they're going to flake. Maybe they're going to cancel. The amount of times that I've been canceled on, especially at the last possible minute, and people just wasted my time. Like people did not value my time whatsoever. So throughout my 20s, because I lived alone and because I was single, like I just got so used to that being the way that like, if you ever seek help in other people, you're gonna end up disappointed. If you ever seek comfort in other people, you're gonna end up disappointed. So just take care of yourself. Just worry about yourself. Just comfort yourself and just do what you gotta do. Like don't look for a helping hand, you know? And so that season of my life, of course, already started to shift before we lived together because, you know, once we were in this serious relationship, my life started to change and all of that started to change. But there's a big difference in having that person, but still at an arm's length, because when you go home at night, it's still just you. When you wake up in the morning, it's still just you. So you could still feel that sense of like independence and being alone kind of, even when you're in a relationship, when you don't live together, like you could have a great partner. It has nothing to do with them, but you still are with yourself 24/7. You're not rolling over in the middle of the night to somebody else, you know, in bed next to you. It's completely different. And so, before we moved in, I was like, I think I'm going to really grieve this era of my life. Not to say that I'm not excited or grateful for the next era, but there's that grief that comes from exiting that youthful time in your life where you did get to be selfish and you did kind of get to have childlike tendencies. It's not to say that I was not mature. I was very mature. I was very independent. But the childlike tendencies are when you do have that mindset of like, I don't have to answer to anybody else. I don't have to worry about anybody else. I don't have to consider anybody else. I just get to be me, myself, and I, and not worry about you. You know, like that comes from that mindset and that energy and that attitude really does come from why I say kid-like or child-like, you know, mentality. It comes from someone who does not have many responsibilities. You know, you may be responsible for yourself, but you're not responsible for a partner. You're not responsible for a kid, you know, your own children. Like, you're not a wife yet. You're not a mother yet. So yes, you have responsibilities, but you get to be selfish in those things rather than saying, okay, now I have a partner, a life partner that I'm sharing with, or I have kids that I'm responsible for. So I think that I thought I would grieve it more than I actually do. And I do think it might be because this is only new. Like, we aren't even fully living together for a month yet. Next week will be, you know, a month. So maybe because it's new, I don't feel that way yet. It's kind of like, oh, like we're just having like a really long sleepover. But I actually don't feel that grief of like, I wish I could go home. I wish that I could just have my own space. I will say that perhaps it has to do with our like work schedules. Like for me, as you girls know, I work from home. So I'm home all the time. He's out working all the freaking time. So I am still like quite often by myself because I'm home all day alone. But granted, we have dinner together every night, sleep together in the same bed every night. Like the weekends, like we live together, you know, our stuff is all here together. So it's not like I'm alone all the time, but I think maybe I'm not experiencing that sense of grief as much as I thought, because I think maybe in my head I felt like, oh my God, we're always going to be up in each other's space. And I'm going to be like, oh, I need my privacy. I need my alone time. I have not yet felt that, which is a great thing because I feel like, wow, this is going great. Like, I think that I kind of anticipated to not feel as great as I do, which might sound like, I feel like this is coming across wrong. It might sound like I wasn't as excited as I was. I was very excited. I think I was just a little bit nervous of like, wow, I'm so used to only ever living by myself. I don't know. Am I in for a rude awakening? I don't know what I'm in for. And I'm even waking up super early because he wakes up super early. So I get up. And I thought that that would be like the death of me. I thought that that would be like, for me, I was really nervous about that. Like, he wakes up really early for work. I am used to sleeping in till 8:30. And I knew that that was going to change. Granted, like I go back to sleep. Today, for example, I went back to sleep. So we woke up, I think like 5:45. I know, early. And then, you know, I was up, like I was just up, and it's hard to just go back to sleep. So I went back to sleep at like 8 in the morning, and I woke up at 10. So like, I think because of my lifestyle, like the fact that I didn't have to be like, fuck, now I have to wake up at 7 again and get ready to go to work. Like, I think because I am able to like go back to sleep, I'm not resentful toward the early morning, you know, like I'm not like, fuck this, I can't take this, I can't deal with this, just because I do have the luxury of being able to go back to bed. So I feel like anything that I anticipated being like worried about, anything that I anticipated being like, damn, that's going to make me really miss living alone, it like doesn't bother me. Like, I'm perfectly fine with it. So That's my experience. But when I did post the TikTok talking about, like, oh my God, I'm really, like, my 20s are really over. Like, I'm turning 30 and getting married and living with someone and, you know, gonna have kids. Like, my whole life is gonna change. Like, as, you know, I'm approaching this next decade of my life. So many people were leaving comments that they can relate. And I think I had like a guilty conscience. Like when I was making that video, I kept over explaining, kind of like I'm explaining now. Like, I don't ever want this to come across as negative. I don't want anyone to ever misconstrue it and hear this as me being like, damn, maybe this is a sign that we shouldn't get married. Like, that's not at all what I'm saying. A lot of people validated me and said, like, these are real feelings. I'm absolutely in love with my husband. We've been married for years. But every now and then I still think about, you know, my time where it was just me and my privacy and the freedom that came with it of just being able to, you know, have chips and salsa for dinner. I keep bringing up dinner stuff because I feel like that's the biggest change that I've had, is that, like, I'm not having girl dinner anymore. That's literally the biggest difference, I would say, thus far in my experience. But, you know, you get the point. A lot of women were commenting saying, like, you're so valid. I absolutely love my kids, but I'd be lying if I said that I don't reminisce, you know, every now and then on what life was like when it was just me before the noise, you know. And they say I would never change anything, but there will be points in your life where you look back and you'll look back very fondly and you'll look back very gratefully, but, you know, you will look back and realize, like, that time has come and gone, and, like, you didn't realize when you were in it, like, that's your prime, girl. This is your time to thrive and be independent and be single or whatever. And then, you know, it comes and goes. And now, you know, you enter the next season of your life and you're like, wait, what just happened? How did this all happen so quickly? So I'm feeling good, and even still, like, I anticipate there will be a day where I do feel that way, you know, like that grief, you know, that mourning of that season of your life being gone forever. But all in all, I am really glad that we waited. Like I said before, I want to go back to that because I feel like the fact that we waited until we got engaged is what made this feel like all the more special, because it's like we got engaged, we moved in, we're planning the wedding. Like, we have these things happening, like, while, you know, we're living together. Like, last night we were going over our guest list, like, we're doing these things. Tonight actually is the first venue tour that we're going on, so I'm really excited because we booked 4 tours already for the next, like, you know, week or 2 weeks. So we're, like, preparing, you know, to get married now that we're living together. So I feel like it's that much more special as opposed to living with a boyfriend and waiting to get engaged, waiting to find out if this is even the person that you're going to marry. And here's my thing on that. The way I was raised, and everybody's different, but the way that I was raised, and same for him, the way he was raised, you did not live with a partner unless they were your husband or your wife. Like, you did not live together until you were married. That's what my grandparents did, my parents, like, that's what happened in my family. And again, same for his. So I grew up with that mentality, but I also was a little bit more free-spirited than most people in my family. Nobody in my family moved anywhere. Like I said, I lived in 4 different cities. I went from living in my parents' house as their child to moving to Florida. Like, I didn't even go from, like, okay, let me move out of their house and stay in the same city. I didn't even move out of their house and go to another city within the same state. Like, I full blown left their house and went a plane ride away to another state from New York to Florida. So that level of independence and moving out in itself was a big deal and was, like, unheard of. So I was a little bit more, like, lenient and laid back. So I think my mindset was more like I would live with someone I'm engaged to. I don't know if I would wait till marriage, but I would wait for the ring. I always said I wouldn't live with a boyfriend. And I maintained that mindset for a long time because into my 20s and as I was moving around and meeting more people and seeing more outside of my own culture, because in my culture, all my friends, nobody lived with a boyfriend. Everybody waited until they either were engaged or married. So I had never witnessed people living with a boyfriend until I moved and met more people from different places that did things differently. So when I moved and experienced this and witnessed this, I was even more firm in the fact that I would not live with someone unless they were my fiance, because I saw people in toxic relationships living together, breaking up, getting back together, which to me sounds like a nightmare. Think about what I said, like that time of being able to live alone and you don't have to answer to anybody else and you just get your own bed in your own house and it's just you, yourself, you get to be selfish. Like, imagine, to me, imagine living, being with a toxic boyfriend where you're breaking up, there's cheating, there's fighting, there's, and you can't even go home to yourself. Like, you have to stay in the same house as this person, or one or the other has to leave. But like, you know what I mean? Like, you live together, so then one of you goes and crashes on a friend's couch. Like, that to me always sounded like a nightmare. Not that I ever thought I would be in a toxic relationship, but because I witnessed that, I was like, yep, no, living with a boyfriend is not a thing for me. Fast forward a few years, as I remained single and was getting older, I did start to have the mindset of, actually, I do want to live with a boyfriend, because I got so used to my routines. I got so used to the living alone and all that, like I said, that everything was like, I wanted things the way I wanted things, and I didn't want anyone to mess them up. So my mindset as I was later into my 20s was, I want to live with a boyfriend to make sure that we are compatible to live together, because I like things the way I like things. And if somebody lives with me that's a mess, or that doesn't, you know, think a certain way, the way that I think, then we're not going to work out. And I need to make sure that I know this before we go ahead and get engaged. I need to see the way they live. I need to see their lifestyle. I need to know every single thing, how they wake up and how they go to sleep, before agreeing to marry somebody, which I think is a valid mindset, but I'm glad it's not the one that I stuck to. I'm glad that I changed my mind, but I think it makes sense. You know, there are some people who are going to feel that way. Like, why would I agree to marry you if I don't even know how you live? With that being said, I think you can know how somebody lives without living with them. I think you should know that. Now, you know, that's my mindset. Because what happened was, you know, I met my fiance, who became my boyfriend. And I still had that mindset for a little bit. So I had like tried to pick his brain to see what he was thinking, because I knew he was raised the same way as me. You don't live with someone until you're married. And I think he was a little lenient as well of like, well, I would live with a fiance. Like, I don't need to wait till marriage, but I don't know if I would live with a girlfriend. I think I would live with a fiance. So he was kind of like on that, you know. And I had that mindset of like, oh, but I want to live with a boyfriend. You know, when we first started to date, that was what I thought. But then as we're continuing to date, I'm already now knowing how this person lives without us living together full time. I'm always by him. He's always by me. He's actually even more of like an OCD neat freak than I am. Like, I am a neat freak. Here's the difference between us. I'm a neat freak. He's a clean freak. There's a difference. To me, visually, I need to see everything tidy. Like, he'll leave his keys on the counter. I'm like, put your keys somewhere else. You know, like, that's like, to me, I don't like to see things out. Don't leave a receipt on the counter. Put the receipt in your drawer if you need to hold on to it. He's the clean freak in the sense that everything has to be very, 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 very clean. Like, nothing could ever go without being washed 500 times. Like, he's the type of guy who will shower 3 times a day. He got me to start showering 2 times a day. I thought I was clean because I showered every single day. I never felt dirtier in my life until I met him, and he showered every time that he got home from anywhere. Go to the grocery store, comes back, showers. So now I shower 2 times a day because of him. So he's actually made me even cleaner than I was. But he doesn't, to him, it doesn't matter if the keys or a receipt is on the counter. Like, what's the big deal? I just put it there. So I'm the visual one. Like, I need to see everything like nice and tidy.
but he needs to like feel and know that every single thing is clean. There can't be a speck of dust. Speckle? That's not a word, I don't think. There can't be a speck of dust. You know what I mean? That's a difference between neat and clean. Either way, I digress. Clean is important to me too, but just a little bit more important to him. But like, these are things that I discovered before we even lived together, because he was like that way in my house and in his house. And we had our routines at my house and in his house. So as we were getting into this relationship, I'm starting to realize that the mindset I had like really didn't matter, because like if my basis for needing to live with someone is just on like needing to know how they live, we've already covered that base. Like, I already know how he lives. So that in itself to me is like, okay, that's not important. And then the other thing is, which I have made known, that we follow more traditional roles. Even aside from just our more traditional beliefs, it also makes sense for our lifestyle. I'm the one home all day. He's the one out working all day. So I don't expect him to come home and cook me a meal, you know, like he's getting home after work to a meal on the table, which is what I'm doing because I was already home in the first place. With that said, that was another reason why I ended up changing my mind back to I would not live with a boyfriend. I would only live with someone that I'm engaged to or married to, because what I realized was, kind of like I said before, when it's just me, I don't mind to have girl dinner. I don't mind to skip dinner. If I'm just like tapped out for the night and I just want to sit and watch a movie and like, I don't care. Like, I could do that when I was on my own. But when he would come, you know, and stay with me, and I had to make sure, you know, that I was always making him a meal and whatever, I realized, okay, wait, if this is what our lifestyle would be like when we live together full time, then this is like a lot of, you know, effort on my part. This is a lot of work on my part. I'm not doing this for a boyfriend. I'm not cleaning up after and cooking for a boyfriend every day of my life. Like, get out of here. Like, you have to be husband material. You have to be ready for marriage to get that sort of treatment from me. That's why I said in the episode where I'm talking about like banning men who aren't ready for marriage and whatever, like, you're not going to get wifey treatment on a girlfriend budget. So why would I live with a boyfriend and take on that role of, you know, cooking and cleaning and whatever and taking care of you if you're not even sure if you want to marry me, if you're not even ready to marry me? Like, that's a love language. Like, that's a lot of effort. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of energy. Like, that's a lot, you know, to do for someone every single day. I'm more than willing to do it. I enjoy doing it. I would much rather do that type of work than have to, you know, have the job I used to have, get on the city bus, go into the city and work 9 to 6 every day and come home at 8 o'clock at night. Like, either way, you're going to have work to do. You're either going to have to go get a job and go work, or you're going to stay home and work, you know, within the house. I would 10 out of 10 rather do that sort of work, you know, than any other work. That's just my personal preference. Some people, that's a nightmare. Some people would rather go work a regular job and they don't want to take on any household responsibilities. Perfectly fine. But for me, I'm totally down to do all that. Am I down to do all that with no reward? My ring is slanted, but with no ring on my finger, without this, if you're watching the video, I'm showing my ring. Like, there has to be some reward for me putting in all of that work. And so I started to, you know, change my mindset back and say like, actually, no, I am gonna, you know, hold out, and I'm gonna wait till it's very special. I'm gonna wait till we know that we're getting married. Then I'll give you that wifey treatment that you deserve. I actually unintentionally am wearing my bride sweatshirt today. Also, if you're watching, you know, then you'll see the sweatshirt that I have on. But yeah, so I am glad that we waited for so many different reasons. I am so happy. I'm like loving this season. I'm excited to start the, you know, venue touring. I'm excited to be doing the wedding planning. I love that we live together. I'm having so much fun living together. It truly is like just a never-ending sleepover with your best friend. I am loving this season of my life. But I also acknowledge that, you know, a very, very, very fundamental, important growth season of my life you know, that chapter is closed. It's gone. And I cannot deny the symbolism of, you know, this chapter starting at chapter 30 on the dot. It is crazy.
Okay, girls, I got a question for you all to think about. How would life be different if you developed undeniable confidence? Well, you're about to find out, because I know you're sick of settling for the bare minimum. I know you crave more in life. So imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to stop settling, to start raising your standards, and to start getting everything you want in life. And guess what? You can get all the tools through my Queens of Confidence coaching program. It's a self-paced, 8-module digital program that has been proven to change lives through recorded coaching videos, journal prompts and worksheets, and a community discussion board for you to ask me any questions and connect with the other members of the program too. Topics of the Queens of Confidence program include external validation, feminine energy, masculine energy, boundaries, high standards, communication skills, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, daily habits, mindful living, emotional availability, improving your relationships, understanding your needs, attracting everything you want, and yes, more. You can get instant access to the entire program right now, and best of all, you can watch and learn at your own pace because your access is granted forever. Some of the queens who have completed the program said, "It's the best investment I've ever made into myself. Vic is the best person to learn from. She's a true expert when it comes to confidence. Worth every penny." And I've taken a couple of courses where they sound rehearsed or just repeat the same cookie cutter things. Your course is the complete opposite, and your everyday examples really drive your points home. So girls, it's your time. Invest in yourself, you're worth it, and your 2.0 self will thank you for changing your life for the better. Head to victoriaalario.com or click the link in the show notes and get the Queens of Confidence program now.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by hormonal changes? Well, girls, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. Our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. And then, of course, there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through too. Menstrual cycles, menopause, and even though it's a natural process, it doesn't make it any easier to go through. But the good news is that we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. It contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, which help the body adapt to any stressors, like all chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So it's perfect for women who struggle with all different life-disrupting symptoms, such as PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, or uncontrollable cravings, menopause symptoms such as hot flashes and night sweats, or even poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or even occasional bloating and gas. So in other words, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is here to make women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They made no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire order at happymammoth.com. Just use code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code FORTHEGIRLS for 15% off today.
If you know me, then you know how much I love the finer things in life, but there is nothing I love more than luxury at an affordable price. That's why I'm always talking about how much I love Quince. It's my go-to shop for luxury essentials for less. From 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from only $50 to washable silk tops and organic cotton sweaters, truly no one else compares. And by the way, I have that Mongolian cashmere sweater in 4 colors: black, brown, ivory, and camel. So needless to say, I'm obsessed, and yes, you will be too. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, so they cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us, which of course we love. Aside from the sweaters, I have so many styles from Quince, including the washable stretch silk tee and the cotton crew neck tee, which are my absolute staple pieces for dressing up or dressing down a look. Everyone's always asking about my elevated basics because no one can ever find the perfect white tee to go with jeans for a daytime look or the perfect silky tee to go with leather pants for a night out, and I
recommend Quince every single time. I also love to style all of the tops that I have from them with their ultra stretch point ankle pants because they're dressier and thicker than a legging, but more versatile than trousers or jeans, and they look so good tucked into boots, which is my favorite style. So give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/forthegirls for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/forthegirls to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/forthegirls. But with all that being said, I really like also thought of putting this whole topic together because I got an amazing Dear Victoria submission right on theme with this. So I'm going to read the Dear Victoria submission and, you know, give her some advice, which goes hand in hand with everything that we're talking about. For those of you who would love some advice from me that want it to be featured on an upcoming episode, you could email me at victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com. Make the subject Dear Victoria so that it does not get lost in the shuffle, because I get tons of emails there. And send me your situation and scenario. And then if I choose it for an upcoming episode, it will be used. Try to keep them as short and sweet as you possibly can. Try to keep it in my realm of expertise. Sometimes people ask things that I'm like, I don't think I'm the right person to give advice to you, you know, on this. And yeah, this one goes hand in hand with this topic, so I'm excited to get into it. Dear Victoria, I'm 26 years old and I feel mostly content with where I am. I live with my amazing partner who is everything I ever dreamed of and more. We have already talked about marriage and kids and we completely align on our future plans. I met him when I was 24. At the time, I had planned on moving to London. However, after I got into a relationship with him, I gave up moving to London to stay and build a life with him. Securing my future with my dream man was more important to me than living abroad. I know I am so lucky to have my person and to be building a life with him. However, at the same time, I can't stop comparing my life to my friends. I'm the only one in my friends settling down. They're all in their 20s and in the phase of their lives where they're still doing very youthful things. They don't know where their life will take them. Meanwhile, my life feels very set. My partner and I even have plans to start trying for kids next year. While I am not trying to change the path I have now chosen for myself, I can't help but feel like my 20s have now slipped away from me, and I see my friends having these experiences that I can no longer have. In our 20s, we are meant to be young and free, yet as women, we also have this biological clock ticking, and it seems more sensible to settle down. I guess I just struggle with my friends being in different stages of life and trying to not compare my life to theirs. I'm trying so hard to be grateful for the life that I have chosen and all of the exciting things to come, while at the same time, I feel a pang for what seems like the loss of my youth and my 20s. How can I stop comparing myself to my friends who are at different stages of life to me? How do I stop feeling so alone in this stage by myself? And how do I stop feeling grief of my youth? Okay, all of this is so valid. And I do think that two things can be true at the same time. So I kind of am like a little back and forth with this. On one end, I feel like, you know, you are still young. I understand the biological clock. Like I'm not going to be the type of person who's like, don't worry about it. You're still a baby. Like, I don't think that at 26 years old, you're still a baby. Maybe if you were 21, but, you know, I don't think you're still a baby. However, I do think that you are still young. I didn't even meet my fiance by 26, you know? So, like, I personally think you still have time. But honestly, I feel like even more than two things are true here. I feel like there's so many truths in this message. One, it is true that I fear for you that you will one day look back and wish that you did the certain things that you want to do. Like, even saying, like, you know, you planned on moving to London and you gave it up. However, you still think about it, you know, you still kind of mourn the loss of not doing that, not experiencing that. Second truth, though, is that you said being in a relationship with him is more important to me than living abroad. So those are two completely separate truths about the same thing. So if you feel like being with him is more important than living abroad, perfect. To me, it's like, there's your answer. But at the same time, if you still find yourself revisiting that and going back to that, you know, and feeling that, I want to make sure that you are 100% sure that being with him is actually more important than going to London. You know, like these little things, that it's not only about London. It's about anything that you wish that you experienced in your 20s, anything that you wish that you did, travel, move around, whatever. There was a part where you mentioned about a job. I took it out of here just because it was a little long, but like all of these certain things that you mentioned that you wish that you had done. I want to make sure that what you're saying is true, that being with him is more important than these things. Because if it is, you're good. But if it's not, then it's time that you actually reflect, because, you know, that would change the entire course of your life, right? And then there's other truths. Like you also make it clear, I am not going to change the path I have chosen for myself. I like the emphasis of the words chosen. Like I have chosen this for myself. This is the choice that you made. You weren't forced into this. You weren't dragged into this. You weren't coerced or, you know, convinced into this. Like, I don't think that somebody made you do things that you don't want to do. I think that these are choices that you made because you want to do them. So that is also important, to be able to have that accountability to say, like, I chose this. I do want this. I am happy with this. At the same time, the alternative thing is that when you keep looking at your friends and seeing like what they have, I think that this is a matter of shiny object syndrome and thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. And the truth is, it's not. That's why I put out a whole podcast episode, The Grass Isn't Greener on the Other Side. It's green where you water it. I'm going to tell you when I uploaded that episode, because that one I think is something that you definitely need to listen to. Hold on, I'm looking it up. Grass. Yeah, The Grass Isn't Greener on the Other Side was uploaded December 16th, 2024. So I do think you should listen to that episode, because I think that you like are happy with your choice and you are holding yourself responsible for making this choice, but you have this comparison syndrome, you know, it's just shiny object syndrome of like, wow, that thing, you know, off in the distance looks really, really cool. But imagine it's like, you see this thing off in the distance that looks really, really cool. So like you run toward it. But then when you get up closer to it, you're like, oh, that's not actually cool at all, you know? That's just a matter of looking at your neighbor's grass. You know, you've been neglecting your own grass. Say you're not watering your own grass. You're looking at your neighbor's grass and you're like, oh, but their grass is so green. Well, yours would be just as green if you watered it, right? So the grass isn't greener on the other side, I think that's an important episode for you to listen to. And I think that that may be what's going on with the whole comparison game with your friends, because it might not even be something that you genuinely, truly want. It may just be a feeling of like, what if, you know, like, I think that it's completely valid to grieve something you never had, to almost feel like you miss something you never had. You're mourning the loss of something that you never had, because you have the mindset of like, what would my life have been like? You know, what would I be doing right now? You know, what would everything look like if I chose, you know, the alternative? And sometimes that is a bad place to be. Like sometimes having that mentality will really fuck you up, because you're like, now you're playing out all the different scenarios. I feel like there's movies and books like that. You know that movie? Oh my God, there's so many movies like that. But I feel like there's one called Look Both Ways. It might be with the girl Lily Reinhardt or whatever her name is. Oh my God, what was that show that she was on? I used to watch that show. Riverdale, there we go. Okay, Lily Reinhardt from Riverdale, I'm pretty sure is the actress in the movie Look Both Ways. And it like plays out her life if she went both ways. One being the settling down motherhood type, one being the young party type. I don't even remember if it was a good movie. It's just what I thought of. So I feel like having that mindset is an unsafe place to be, because all of these hypotheticals and what ifs, like, they're not real life. They're all just figments of your imagination. They're not real. I do believe that everything happens for a reason. So my mindset to ease, you know, to bring myself peace and to ease that what if mindset, my mindset would have to be like, this happened for a reason. I'm in this place for a reason. I'm meant to be in this place because if I was meant to go to London, I would have gone to London. If I was meant to still be young, wild, and free in my 20s and partying and not knowing what my life looks like, I would be in that position. But clearly, I'm meant for this life because this is the life that I'm at. The only thing that concerns me whatsoever is making sure that you are 100% truthful. That is the only thing that concerns me. I am not concerned whatsoever about you playing the comparison game because I think that you would play the comparison game no matter what. Because to me, I feel like if you did go to London and you didn't, you know, stay with him and say you broke up and you did other things and like you still, you know, had him on social media or whatever, you still like kept in touch with him, you would be doing the same thing that way. You'd be comparing to, you know, that life. What if this? What if that? I see him. He's thriving. He's doing this. Like, I should have stayed. I should have been with him. Like, I think either way you go, there's always that little bit of comparison. There's always that little bit of what if that, like, kind of resides in the back of our mind. So I feel like that's natural and that's normal. I do highly encourage that you focus more on what you do have rather than on what you don't have, because that's, I think, the overall problem here is looking to what you do not have rather than focusing on all of the positives. I know that you address that you have all of the positives, but every single time that you address the positive, you're also like, but, however, you know, and once you start throwing out the buts and howevers, it tells me that you're not 100% satisfied. It's like, I love my life, but I'm happy with settling down and moving forward with him. However, because of that, I do think that you maybe should not rush into trying to have kids next year. I want you to really think about that because where you're at, it's not telling me that you're unhappy. It's telling me that something is a little bit off. And so what I think is that you should be able to have a little bit of both, meaning you should be able to still go out with your friends and have fun. You are only 26 years old. You don't have to rush into having kids just because of a biological clock. And the other thing is that you wrote in here saying, like, yet as women, we have this biological clock ticking, so it seems more sensible to settle down. You don't just settle down because of logistics. You don't just settle down because it seems sensible. You settle down because it's 100% what you want, 100% what you're waiting and ready for, 100% certainty of like, this is my time to do this. So I feel like if you gave yourself another year or two of embracing your youth as much as you can, you'll still be able to settle down and have kids within your 20s, you know, like you'll still, like, let's say that you gave yourself two more years, like you chilled out and said, you know what, I love you. I'm happy to be with you. I'm excited to build a future with you. I'm excited to move forward with you. I'm excited to have a family with you. However, part of me still needs a little bit more time. It has nothing to do with you. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't want to be with you. That's not the case whatsoever. It is 100% to do with me feeling like I just need to hold on to my youth for a little bit longer. And even if you did that and waited until 28 to start kicking, there you go. You're still already starting to have kids within your 20s, you know? And I get that. Like, I always felt like I wanted to have kids in my 20s. Granted, I'm now 30 and don't have kids yet. So I always have that little sense of like, damn, I failed my biological clock test, you know, like I didn't get it done within my 20s, but like, I'm still gonna do it. I'm still loving my life and I am happy with how things are going. Like, I'm still gonna have kids. You don't just like die if you don't have kids in your 20s like that, like, you know, so I get it. I get what you're saying because that was always what I wanted as well. But is it a requirement? Is it something that I think you should rush into just because it seems more sensible? Absolutely the fuck not. Absolutely not. I am not suggesting that you end your relationship. I am suggesting that you make more time for yourself and prioritize your needs more in your life. And I think if your partner is the amazing man that you always dreamed of, the way that you say he is, I think he will accept and understand that. As long as you make it clear, like, I am in no way, shape, or form wanting to end anything or stop anything. I just want a little bit more time to feel like I'm in my 20s. I just don't want to rush into having kids, because I do not believe that a biological clock or it seemingly more sensible are enough of reasons to have a child. You should be having zero doubts whatsoever and being so happy and ecstatic and over the moon and feeling completely fulfilled, completely satisfied, and just overall, like, no doubts, no questions asked, 100% yes, if when it comes down to, you know, having children with somebody, like, that there's no way around that. So I say, give yourself 2 years. Have a very serious adult conversation with him. Give yourself 2 years. Spend more time with your friends. But I also, you know what I think is going to happen? I think when you do spend more time with your friends, that's going to be enough for you to see right there that the grass is not greener on the other side. You're going to say, this is what I was missing out on. I don't enjoy getting drunk. I don't enjoy not knowing where my life is going. I do think that hanging out with your friends in itself might give you the clarity that you need. But maybe it's not even about partying and not knowing where life is and blah, 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 like going and all that stuff. Maybe you just need to spend more time with your friends, period. Like, even at your own house, and just have more girl time and just hang out with them and feel their presence and feel like you're still part of the group. Maybe you feel a little left out. Maybe you feel like you don't fit in as much. Maybe you just feel like, we're on such different pages, I'm losing my friends. Like, you know, like, you don't want to feel that way. So maybe you just need to fill up that cup a little bit in general and just, like, feel their energy more in your life and make more time for them in your life. I think that that's very important for girls to have their girlfriends. I think female friendships are extremely important to have, because they're like a non-romantic, you know, a platonic version of your soulmates. Like, maybe he's your life partner and romantic soulmate, but your girlfriends were probably in your life before him, and they know you from every season of your life, with or without him. So they are your soulmates too. I do think it's important that you spend time with them. And I think that by doing so in itself, you'll be like, okay, never mind. Like, I'm ready. Like, knock me up. I don't want to party with these people anymore. Like, that in itself might change your tune. But I also think that just, like, spending time with them will allow you to stop feeling so lonely. But sometimes loneliness is, like, our own feeling that we created. Like, we get in our own head because we feel isolated, because we feel different from other people, because we feel not on the same page. So sometimes we're not actually alone. We just feel lonely. If you called up your friends, they would probably come over in a minute. And if you expressed to them, I feel alone in this situation, they'd be like, oh my God, are you kidding? Like, come hang out more, you know, let's go out more. Like, you would realize it's been a non-issue all this time. You just didn't express yourself. You didn't voice, you know, your needs. And I think between your friends and your partner, it's very important that you start to express your needs. It's very important that you tell him how you're feeling and tell them how you're feeling. And the people that are meant to be in your life, the people who will love you, are going to stay. They're going to appreciate you. They're going to continue to want to be around you. They're going to continue to want to make you feel good. So I think that that's all really important, like, tangible stuff to do. But then to really, you know, wrap it all up, the icing on the cake is to truly, truly, truly stop looking to other people and comparing your life so much, because at the end of the day, what's meant for you is yours, and what's meant for them is theirs. So you can't really look to what somebody else has and wish that you had it, because if it was meant for you, that's what you would have. So, you know, when it comes to timelines and possessions and things and whatever you have that other people have and vice versa, they have that you don't have, like, one has nothing to do with the other. What you have has nothing to do with me. What I have has nothing to do with you. Like, what's yours is yours and what's theirs is theirs. So let the comparing completely go out the window, because it's not your business. It's not your problem. The grass is not greener on the other side. Focus on your own grass, you know? So I know that was a lot. I hope that you know, though, that no matter which way this goes, there will always be points in your life where you do grieve your youth. There will always be points in your life where you do look back and, like, you know, realize that season of your life is over and you're like, damn, I took it all for granted. I didn't get to go to London. It's like, you know, Lauren Conrad, well, you're young, so I don't know if you watched The Hills when it was on back in the day, but back when The Hills was on TV, Lauren had the opportunity to go to Paris for a fashion week, but she stayed home in California for her boyfriend. And so that was, like, the big thing. It was always like, Lauren was the girl who didn't go to Paris, you know? Granted, her whole life ended up working out anyway. I kind of just got the chills because I just reflected on The Hills, and I have not watched that show in forever, but it was like, you're always going to go down as the girl who didn't go to Paris, you know, over a boy. And it was such a big deal at the time. But, like, now you look back and it's like everything happens for a reason, you know? So you're always going to grieve that, like, damn, I didn't go. Damn, I didn't take that experience. But as long as it's not something that's going to haunt you for the rest of your life, you'll be fine. Like, anything that you feel like is going to haunt you, is going to weigh on you terribly and really heavily, I think you should consider trying to do it. Even if you tell your partner, like, whether you come with me or not, I got to go to London. Even if it's for a week, I just got to get it out of my system. I just got to experience it. By the way, side note, London is my favorite city in the world. I absolutely love London. Went twice, studied abroad there over the summer. And then I went for, like, a little over a week for New Year's once. So I did, like, a summer and a winter there. Have two tattoos from London. Like, absolutely love it. It's just divine. So if you go, you'll love it. I, for one, think that you should go, even if it's just for a little bit. Like, I'm not saying that you need to pack up your life and go, but I think if you feel a pang and you still think about it, you just got to get it out of your system and tell them, listen, I'm coming right back to you. I'm coming home to you, but I got to go. I have this longing for London. I need to just get there. Give me a week and I'll be back. Whatever it is, you know? So as long as it's not something that's going to, like, kill you for the rest of your life, fine. But if it's something that you can't get over, you've got to start to make the time for it. You need to start to make the time for you, for your needs. And yeah, I just talked all over the place. Sorry, I had so many thoughts there, but that is everything. Hopefully this gave you some sense of direction. If not, email me and tell me to fuck off. But if anybody else needs any chaotic advice, email me. victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com, subject line, Dear Victoria. And then that is it. That is all that we have for today. Thank you, girls, so much for listening. Until next time, girls.